Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Wednesday class, September 20, 2023, 2 Corinthians.
Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God this evening to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians 4. And in preparation to worship our Lord, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. The very fact that we are even here this evening is a demonstration of who and what you are. And we thank you, sir, that you have magnified your word over all of your name. And therefore, the word of God is more important than the very air that we breathe. And as we assemble this evening to fellowship in the Word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, we'll start the corrected translation at verse 14. Knowing that the one who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and will present us together with you, believers in Corinth. Verse 15, for all this suffering for blessing is for your benefit, for the purpose that the grace of God, which is being multiplied to more and more people, may cause thanksgiving, gratitude, to abound to the glory of God. Verse 60. For this reason, we absolutely do not lose heart, but even though our outer man, the human body, is decaying, is being destroyed, yet our inner man, our heart, keeps on being renewed day by day. And that presents, verse 16 presents the whole issue of why you are here in the short time on this earth, so that you can be renewed in your heart day by day by day by day by day. That's God's plan, will, and purpose for our life. In verse 16, we have a contrast between the exoanthropos, the outer man, and the esoanthropos, the inner man. The adverb exo means outside, However, Arnton Gingrich, the Greek lexicon, page 279, tells us that when exo is used as an adjective, as it is in our verse, it's correctly translated outer. So we have the phrase ha exo hemon anthropos, our outer man. Our outer man refers to the human body. And then we have the key verb with the outer man is the verb diaphthero. Looks like that in the Greek, D-I-A-P-H-T-H-E-I-R, long O. Diaphthero. This is the key verb for the outer man, the human body. Diaphthero literally means to spoil or to destroy. It was literally used of rust eating into iron. In the passive voice, which is what we have, it means to be destroyed. And when used of the outer man, our human body, it describes the deterioration of our human body as time goes by, as we get older and older and older, our human body is diaphthero. So as we get older, our human body, well, based, I think you understand, turns to meino. Now, I could use a word that you all, four-letter word, you all understand, but I think you get the point. Our human body turns to meino. So we have, for this reason, we absolutely do not lose heart, but even if our outer man, and it's also translated, even though our outer man, the human body, is being destroyed and turning to meino, first class condition, and it is, yet our inner man keeps on being renewed day by day. Now, in the apodosis of this first class condition, now we have the definite article ha, but the noun anthropos has been left out by ellipsis. Now that's very important here. That's ellipsis. It's been left out by ellipsis. And the Apostle Paul has left it out by ellipsis for the sake of emphasis. The Apostle Paul is putting the spotlight on our inner man. He said, you have an outer man, which is your physical body. You have the inner man. And the inner man is way, way more important than the outer man, the human body. And that's what Paul is saying here by ellipsis, leaving out the noun anthropos and the apodosis. So while the winner believer's outer man, his human body, is decaying, turning to meino, his inner man, the inner man of the winner believer, is being renewed day by day. The genitive plural of the personal pronoun ego is our inner man. Who is our? Well, a specific category of believer. The inner man of the winner believer. Not the inner man of the loser believer. His inner man is not being renewed at all. When you're living in Satan's cosmic system, your inner man is not being renewed day by day. So this is a special category of the royal family of God, the winner believer. And then we have, instead of exo, the outer man, we have esso. Esso is used as an adjective, and this is the inner man. And the inner man is the real you. The real you is your soul. And the key verb here for the inner man is the issue for the spiritual life, the short time while you are here. Ana kai na'o. This is why you're here. A-N-A-K-A-I-N-O, long O. Ana kai na'o. Now this verb is only found two times in the New Testament scriptures. Both times it is used by the Apostle Paul. It's found in our verse, 2 Corinthians 4, verse 16, and also in Colossians 3, verse 10. It's not found in the Septuagint or other Greek versions of the Old Testament, including the Apocrypha. It is not found in Greek writers before the Christian era. And therefore, it is very likely that the Apostle Paul, in his great human genius, coined this word by the power of God the Holy Spirit, the inspiration ministry of the Spirit, in order to communicate this fantastic principle of Bible doctrine in this verse. Why are you here? You are here in this short time after salvation to be aina kai na'od. That's what. This is the whole reason why you're here. Right here. Ana kai na'o. And ana kai na'o means to renew. It means to renovate. The present tense has strong linear action start. Keep on being renewed. Keep on being renovated. Day by day. Hamera kai hamera. The present tense of ana kai na'o with hamera kai hamera, day by day, demands a consistent and faithful renewal and renovation. The passive voice is the voice of grace. This renewal will only take place through grace dynamics, grace perspicacity. The indicative is declarative. This is a dogmatic principle of Bible doctrine. This renewal, this renovation takes place in the inner man of the believer who is living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills. The renovation involves hauling out all the human viewpoint garbage and replacing it with divine viewpoint thinking of the Word of God. And the a-o ending is a causative ending. And that is, the positive believer living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills is caused to be renovated, renewed in his thinking because of, and this is the other verse where we find this verb, because of epinosis doctrine in his heart. The only other verse that has this verb, anakainao, is Colossians 3, verse 10. So turn over to Colossians 3:10. Again, 2 Corinthians 4:16. For this reason, we absolutely do not lose heart, but even though our outer man, the human body, is decaying, turning to meino, yet our inner man, our soul, our heart, keeps on being renewed day by day. Now, How is our inner man renewed day by day? You say, well, by taking a vacation. By going swimming in the swimming pool. Going hunting. And I love to hunt. By going fishing. By going to watch the Rebels play football or basketball. No? Colossians 3:10 gives us the mechanics. It says, and have put on the new man, which is caused to keep on being anakainao. Here's the only other place this verb is used, who is caused to keep on being renewed and renovated, and then we have the means. by means of epinosis doctrine, according to the norms and standards of the image of its creator, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we have in the Greek gnosis, G-N, long O-S-I-S. Gnosis is knowledge. And when you assemble in a Bible church under the filling of the Spirit, the pastor teacher is communicating the absolute truth of God's Word, and you're in fellowship with God, filled with the Spirit. God, the Holy Spirit, takes that communication of the Word of God by the pastor teacher and teaches your spirit, and you have now pneumatica, spiritual phenomena in your human spirit. Now, that goes down into the left lobe, the nous, the mind, and you comprehend what's there, but it's just gnosis doctrine. It doesn't help you at all unless you believe it. And that's where the key is. What are you going to do with that gnosis doctrine? Here is gnosis doctrine over in the left lobe, over in the mind. You comprehend it. But if you go negative and say, I don't believe that, Pastor Olson, well, then it doesn't go to the target. The target for the Word of God is your cardia, the heart. That's the target. And the only way the Word of God gets into the target of the cardia, the heart, is for you to believe it. And if you don't believe it, you will never apply it. You won't apply it. You can't apply it. You can only apply that truth of the Word of God that you believe and is in your heart. And when you believe it, now it's not gnosis, now it's epinosis. E-P-I-G-N, long O-S-I-S. Full knowledge. Full knowledge. Completed knowledge. Epinosis doctrine. So how is your inner man renewed day by day? Consistent and faithful assembling in a sound Bible teaching church with positive volition, humility, hearing the teaching of the Word of God and believing it. When you believe it, it goes into your heart. Now it's epinosis doctrine. And now you're being renewed day by day. And that's why you're here. You are here to be renewed in your inner man day by day by day by day.
I love this passage. I love 2 Corinthians 4:16. You combine it with what the Apostle Paul teaches in Colossians 3:10, and you have put on the new man, which is caused to be, keep on being renewed, renovated, anakainaod. How? By means of epinosis doctrine. Assembling in that sound Bible-teaching church day by day, consistently and faithfully, and believing the teaching of the God-breathed Scriptures and getting epinosis doctrine into your heart. Epinosis doctrine is Bible doctrine that is believed, metabolized doctrine, circulating in the stream of consciousness of your heart. This renewal and renovation of the inner man, the winner believer, is hamera kai hamera. That's how it looks in the Greek. Hamera kai hamera. H long E M E R A. Oops. Still writing in Greek. K-A-I H long E-M-E-R-A. Hamera kai hamera. Day by day. By day. By day. Consistent and faithful metabolization of Bible doctrine. Turn over to Romans chapter 12. Now there's only two places where anakaino, the verb, is found, both by the Apostle Paul, 2 Corinthians 4:16, Colossians 3:10. However, there is a noun that comes from anakaino, and that's anakinosis. A-N-A-K-A-I-N-long-O-S-I-S. Anakinosis. This is the noun that comes from the verb anakaino. And who used this noun? Well, the Apostle Paul. Romans 12, verse 2. And stop being conformed to this cosmic system, the world. And there's a lot of believers that Paul was writing to who were living in Satan's cosmic system, and he nails them. Stop being conformed to this cosmic system, but keep on being transformed by the anakinosis, the renewing of your mind. And that's the noun that comes from our verb, anakaino. But keep on being transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what the will of God is. Namely, that will of God which is good and acceptable and perfect. This is why you're here. This is the will of God. To keep on being renewed in your mind. Romans 12:2. So, one, the objective of this day-by-day renewal and renovation of your inner man is to have Christ formed in you. The objective of this day-by-day renewal and renovation of your inner man is to have Christ formed in you. Galatians 4:19, my dear children, for whom I am again in the pains of childbirth, until Christ is formed in you. And as you are renewed day by day by getting epinosis doctrine in your heart, then Christ is formed in you. Christ makes himself at home in your heart. Now the virtues of Jesus Christ are manifested in you and through you because you are taking on Christ likeness as you are renewed day by day by day. You take on Christ likeness. So the objective of this day-by-day renewal and renovation of your inner man is to have Christ formed in you, Galatians 4:19. Two, now you have been clothed with Christ positionally at salvation through the baptism of the Spirit, which we have studied in Sunday in Romans 6 in great detail. So you have been clothed with Christ positionally at salvation through the baptism of the Spirit. Galatians 3:26 and 27. Galatians 3:26, you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who were baptized into Christ, the baptism of the Spirit, the moment of salvation, current positional truth, you have clothed yourself with Christ. That's positional truth. That's current positional truth. That's positionally. Point three. However, you put on the characteristics and virtues of Christ in your experience by being renovated and renewed day by day by getting metabolized doctrine in your heart. So you have been clothed with Christ positionally, current positional truth of salvation through the baptism of the Spirit, Galatians 3:26 and 27. However, you put on the characteristics and virtues of Christ in your experience by being renovated and renewed day by day, getting maximum epinosis doctrine, metabolized doctrine in the heart. Four. The characteristics and virtues of the new man are according to the norms and standards of the image or likeness of its creator, the Lord Jesus Christ. Colossians 3:10. And we have put on the new man, which is caused to keep on being renewed, anakainao, by means of epinosis doctrine, according to the norms and standards of the image of its creator, Jesus Christ. So the characteristics and virtues of the new man are according to the norms and standards of the image or likeness of its creator, Jesus Christ, Colossians 3, verse 10. So as you're renewed, renovated, day by day, consistently and faithfully metabolizing Bible doctrine, why then the virtues and characteristics of Christ are being formed in your life. Four, the characteristics and virtues of then of the new man are according to the norms and standards of the image or likeness of his creator, Jesus Christ. Point five, therefore, as you consistently and faithfully metabolize doctrine, get epinosis doctrine in your heart, day by day, you become renewed in the inner man and therefore conformed to the likeness of Christ. Christ is formed in you and you are conformed to the likeness of Christ. Christ makes himself at home in your heart. Christ motivates you to fulfill God's plan, will, and purpose for your life. Six, Christians become increasingly like the Lord as they are renewed in the inner man, conformed to the likeness of Christ. Christians become increasingly like the Lord, for now Jesus Christ is formed in them. Galatians 4:19. Jesus Christ is formed in them as they renew their inner man day by day. Seven, this is accomplished by the grace and power of God. The spiritual skill number one of the spiritual life, the filling of the Spirit, combined with spiritual skill number two of the spiritual life, the teaching ministry of the Spirit. And then you fulfill 2 Peter 3:18. You grow up in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So 2 Corinthians 4:16. I love anakainao. And that's why we are all here. In the short time we're here. 2 Corinthians 4:16. For this reason, we absolutely do not lose heart. But even though our outer man, the human body, is decaying, yet our inner man, our heart, keeps on being renewed day by day. And then Paul puts it in Colossians 3:10, and have put on the new man, which is caused to keep on being renewed, anakainao, by means of epinosis doctrine, according to the norms and standard of the image of its creator. And then again in Romans 12:2, and stop being conformed to this cosmic system, but keep on being transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what the will of God is, namely, that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Now that brings us to verse 17. And Every time I study 2 Corinthians 4:17, I'm amazed. Now, you probably think about different people that you think are the toughest people. And you might look at football players. I watched the Rebel football game playing Vanderbilt. And the biggest men on the Rebels team were the offensive linemen. They were wusses. They could not block. They couldn't block Debbie if she was on the other side. And they let Vanderbilt come through full speed. Anytime there was a stunt, they could not block and stop the stunt. And they killed our starting quarterback, Doug Brumfield. Just nailed him. And then back to back. Next play, they'd have another stunt. We blocked nobody. Here come the linebackers full speed. Nailed him again. Knocked him out of the game. He probably won't play this next game. But they're the biggest men out there in the field. Just because you're big doesn't mean a damn thing. Doesn't mean you're tough. Doesn't even mean... Offensive linemen have to learn to work together to stop stunts. And they have a lot to improve on the offensive line. What do you think? Who do you think are the toughest people? You think boxers are the toughest people? No. The toughest person ever in human history was the Apostle Paul. He wasn't a boxer. He wasn't a fighter. He wasn't a wrestler. He was an apostle. And he taught the grace and truth of the Word of God. And he had more suffering for blessing than any member of the human race of all time. And he glorified God through it all. Did he quit? No, Paul never quit. He just kept on, kept on, kept on. Suffering for blessing, suffering for blessing, suffering for blessing. And he kept on. He never stopped. He never quit. He never said, you know, I'm getting out of this. I could be a fishing guide. I could be a hunting guide. I could take people up in the mountains, camping. I could take them back into the Jarbidge Wilderness on horseback. I could do something great like that. Why? Why should I keep doing this, teaching the grace and truth of the Word of God, when I am getting clobbered and clobbered and clobbered and clobbered? Because he's the toughest man who ever lived. And he wasn't using his own strength. He was using the grace and power of God. He knew all of God's problem-solving devices, and he applied them again and again and again and again, and he kept on. So that's what we have here, and I can't believe what we, in the King James, it starts out, for our light affliction. For our light affliction is but for a moment. We have the post-positive conjunction gar, plus the genitive plural of the personal pronoun ego, plus the genitive singular phlipsis with a definite article, plus the adverb parautica used as an adjective, plus the nominative singular neuter of the adjective elaphros. Now we start out with the post-positive conjunction gar. G-A-R, gar. And gar is an emphatic gar, and it should be correctly translated in fact or indeed. And we'll translate it in fact. In fact, our momentary light affliction. And what is he talking about there? All the suffering for blessing that the Apostle Paul has gone through. In fact, our momentary light affliction, not just Paul, but also Silvanus and Titus and Timothy. Part of the, here's the principle that we have in this verse. Part of the means used by God in this transforming and renewing process is suffering for blessing. Part of the means used by God in this transforming and renewing process is suffering for blessing. It is the greatest honor when you advance to maturity and God is free to pour out on you the mantle of suffering for blessing. The Apostle Paul attained that, and God poured out on him suffering for blessing greater than any other believer that has ever lived. And that was because Paul was the greatest believer who ever lived. He utilized God's problem-solving devices. He cleared the hurdles of suffering for blessing again and again and again and again. So in this verse, we're going to see, in fact, our momentary light affliction, the suffering for blessing that Paul and Timothy and Titus and Silvanus are going through. So the principle is this: part of the means used by God in this transforming, renewing process is suffering for blessing. Now the Apostle Paul describes this in detail in Romans 5. And we've studied this, but turn over to Romans chapter 5. Romans 5. Part of the means used by God in this transforming, this renewing process is suffering for blessing. And Paul describes that in Romans 5, 3 through 5, which says, "And not only this, but also we keep on glorying in our suffering for blessing." We keep on glorying in our suffering for blessing. Because we know that suffering for blessing produces perseverance, that is, courageous endurance. And courageous endurance produces or brings about proven character. Proven character is demonstrated grace, righteousness, spiritual maturity. And proven character produces and brings about hope, absolute confidence, especially hope 2 and hope 3, greater grace blessing for time and greater grace blessing for all eternity. And hope never disappoints. Because love for God, personal love for God the Father, and occupation with Jesus Christ has been poured out in our hearts, the inner man, in our hearts, by the agency of the Holy Spirit. The filling of the Spirit, spiritual skill number 1 of the spiritual life. The teaching ministry of the Spirit, spiritual skill number 2 of the spiritual life. Who, the spiritual life, the God, the Holy Spirit, was given to us, the universal indwelling of the Spirit, to every church age believer. In this great passage, Romans 5, 3 through 5, the Apostle Paul declares that part of the means used by God in this transforming and renewing process is suffering for blessing. But that only comes to the spiritually adult believer. Not to the baby believer, not to the adolescent believer, not to the carnal reversionistic believer, but only to the spiritually adult believer. And then we have the word philipsis. T-H-L-I-P-S-I-S. Philipsis. couple of points on phlipsis. Literally, it means pressing or pressure. Pressing or pressure, that's literally. Point two, figuratively, it means oppression, affliction, tribulation. Probably the best, one of the best ways to define it and translate it is tribulation. Point three, in fact, the word phlipsis is used to describe the great tribulation prior to the second advent of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's found in Revelation 7, verse 14. Revelation 7:14. You can turn over there if you get there before I do. Oh, too late. Revelation 7:14. And he said, these are they who have come out of phlipsis, and is translated the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. So here we have phlipsis translated the great tribulation in Revelation 7:14. So phlipsis is the word used to describe the great tribulation. Four, Paul uses it in our verse, 2 Corinthians 4:17, for intense suffering for blessing that God is privileged to give to the winner believer. Paul uses it in our verse, 2 Corinthians 4:17, for intense suffering for blessing that God is privileged to give to the winner believer. Point five. Now Paul describes this intense suffering for blessing with two absolutely amazing adjectives. Two different adjectives. First one is parautica. P-A-R-A-U-T-I-K-A. Parautica. And parautica means, you translate it, momentary. Momentary. That's the first adjective. The second one is Elaphros. E-L-A-P-H-R-O-S. Elaphros. And Elaphros means light or insignificant. Now I said these are two absolutely amazing adjectives. The Apostle Paul is describing this intense suffering for blessing that he has been going through again and again and again, and he describes it parautica, momentary, and Elaphros, light and insignificant. The genitive plural of the personal pronoun ego, our. This is suffering for blessing given to believers who have attained spiritual adulthood. Point six, therefore this is the believer who is living the spiritual life by the spiritual skill. Therefore this is the believer who is living the spiritual life by the spiritual skill. Seven, he has grown up in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He's fulfilled the mandate of 2 Peter 3:18. He has grown up in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Eight, therefore, he is qualified for the great honor and blessing of suffering for blessing. The greater grace blessing package is made up of many different categories, but perhaps the greatest of all is that category of suffering for blessing. Therefore, he is qualified for the great honor and blessing of suffering for blessing. 9. And this, it blows me away every time I study this. The Apostle Paul describes this light, momentary affliction in 2 Corinthians 11:23 to 29. The Apostle Paul describes this light, momentary affliction in 2 Corinthians 11. Turn over to 2 Corinthians 11. Momentary light affliction. Now we have people in here that are going through their own suffering for blessing. And they are doing a phenomenal job. And they are running their hurdles, the race of suffering for blessing. A lot of you don't even know all that they're going through. But they're honoring and glorifying the Lord Jesus Christ in a very special and wonderful way. And frankly, I hope all of you eventually attain that status where God can give you this suffering for blessing. And I expect you to honor and glorify the Lord and clear the hurdles and glorify Him while you're living and glorify Him in your dying. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 23. Are they servants of Christ? I'm out of my mind to talk like this. I am more. I've worked much harder. I've been in prison more frequently. I've been flogged more severely. How many of you have been flogged? You haven't? I got a whip. I can bring it to church. I have been flogged more severely and been exposed to death again and again. 5 times I received from the Jews 40 lashes minus 1. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. He was stoned to death and resuscitated. 3 times I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day in the open sea. I have been constantly on the move. I have been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from my own countrymen, in danger from the Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at sea, and in danger from false brothers. I have labored and toiled and have often gone without sleep. I have known hunger and thirst, and have often gone without food. I have been cold and naked. Besides everything else, I face daily the pressure of my concern for all the churches. Who is weak? And I do not feel weak. Who is led into sin, and I do not inwardly burn. Now, Paul describes this as light, momentary light affliction. How many of you have gone through anything like this? No one. No, I know you've had your difficulties, adversities, suffering. But point 10, the Apostle Paul is the toughest believer of all time. He never, ever quit. He never quit. He never said, I'm done with this being a servant of the Lord. I'm going to get out of this. I'm going to get out of the ministry and do something else. All I do is I go from suffering to suffering to suffering to suffering to suffering to suffering. Suffering for blessing. And he never, ever quit. When God's plan for his life was over, he was captured and thrown into the Mamertine dungeon, and he waited his execution. His capital crime was he was a Christian. His capital crime was that he was a servant of the Lord. His capital crime was that he never stopped teaching grace and truth. He never stopped proclaiming the grace gospel of Jesus Christ. He never stopped communicating the mysterion, the mystery doctrines of the church age. He kept on and on and on until the Lord said, well done, good and faithful servant. He didn't die of old age. He was decapitated. And he was absent from the body and face to face with the Lord. But he never stopped. And the last book he wrote was 2 Timothy. And after he wrote that, God's plan for the Apostle Paul was finished. Now, this is something very special here. 2 Corinthians, more than any other book, teaches this unique category of greater grace blessing called suffering for blessing. So he says, in fact, our momentary light affliction, our suffering for blessing, and then we have worketh for us. Present middle indicative of kater gazomai plus the dative plural of the personal pronoun ego. Kater gazomai. K-A-T-E-R-G-A-Z-O-M-A-I. Kater gazomai. Kater gazomai literally means to achieve or to accomplish something. And then it comes to mean to bring about, to create, to produce. And we will translate it to produce. The present tense is a nomic present introducing a timeless axiom of Scripture. And here's the axiom. You want to get this down. As the winner believer clears the hurdles of suffering for blessing with precisely correct procedure, God's problem-solving devices, by the grace and power of God, it is producing for him an eternal weight of glory. Greater grace blessing for time, greater grace blessing for all eternity. So the axiom, as the winner believer clears the hurdles of suffering for blessing, with precisely correct procedure, God's problem-solving devices, by the grace and power of God, it is producing for him an eternal weight of glory. Hope 2 and Hope 3. The middle voice is deponent, middle in form, but active in meaning. Suffering for blessing performs the action of producing this weight, this eternal weight of glory. The indicative mood is declarative, a dogmatic principle of Bible doctrine. The dative plural of ego is for us, spiritually mature believers, winner believers. The dative case, dative of indirect object, for the interest and benefit of winner believers. In fact, Our momentary light affliction, our suffering for blessing, is producing for us, is producing something for us, a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. And this is the preposition kata with the accusative of hyperbole, and then the preposition ace with the accusative of hyperbole again, and then the accusative singular of ionios with baroth, and the genitive singular of doxa. D-O-K-S-A, doxa, the Greek word for glory. And what does the glory describe? One, it's describing the winner believer in eternity, phase three. He will have the most phenomenal uniform of glory for all eternity. Two, it is emphasizing the greater grace blessings given to the winner believer at the judgment seat of Christ. Emphasizing the greater grace blessings given to the winner believer at the judgment seat of Christ. Three, these greater grace blessings will glorify God forever and ever. These greater grace blessings will glorify God forever and ever. For it is God who is glorified. God gets the glory. The Lord Jesus Christ is the one who is glorified forever and ever and ever. Five, this glory is described as Ionion Baras Doxes. Ionios, A-I-long-O-N-I-O-S. Ionios means without end. It means eternal. It means everlasting. And then we have Baras. B-A-R-O-S, Baras. And Baras is only used figuratively in the God-breathed scriptures, and it means a burden or weight or fullness. Six, this is an everlasting fullness of glory. Everlasting weight of glory. Fullness of glory. Seven, this everlasting fullness of glory is described with two prepositional phrases, kata plus the accusative of hyperbole, and ace plus the accusative of hyperbole. Kata plus the accusative of hyperbole. That's K-A-T-A and then H-U-P-E-R-B-O-L long E. Kata hyperbole. Kata hyperbole means to an extraordinary degree, beyond measure, beyond all comparison. That's kata plus the accusative of hyperbole. To an extraordinary degree, beyond measure, beyond all comparison. And then that's followed by ace plus the accusative of hyperbole. So we just substitute another preposition, ace, E-I-S, and ace plus the accusative of hyperbole means completely, fully, to the uttermost. Completely, fully, to the uttermost. So, the corrected translation. A verse Well, let's take a look at verse 16 and verse 17. For this reason, we absolutely do not lose heart, but even though our outer man, the human body, is decaying, yet our inner man, our heart, keeps on being renewed day by day. In fact, our momentary light affliction, all of our suffering for blessing, is producing for us an everlasting fullness of glory, absolutely beyond all comparison. In fact, our momentary light affliction, suffering for blessing, is producing for us an everlasting fullness or weight of glory. The glory is so great, absolutely beyond all comparison. We'll be able to find Paul real easy when we get to heaven and his resurrection body. He will be the brightest, have the brightest uniform of anyone up there. And like I say, the toughest person ever who lived, human being, the Apostle Paul. And with all that he went through in suffering for blessing, 2 Corinthians 11:23 and following, he never quit. He never quit. He never got out of the ministry. Instead, he applied God's problem-solving devices. He utilized God's grace and God's power. He cleared the hurdles, and he kept on being the servant of the Lord. No matter what happened, he kept on being the servant of the Lord. He was the toughest man who ever lived. Now, I hope all of you grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ and reach that point where God can give you this mantle. And at the judgment seat of Christ, I will look forward to see God pour out fantastic greater grace blessings on each one of you. It's an honor. It's a privilege. And I know a lot of you know some of the ones in here who are facing some of those things. And you also know that they are winner believers. I know many of these people. I know personally what they're going through. And I tell you, I am looking forward to seeing all of the crowns and rewards that they're going to receive at the judgment seat of Christ. I'm looking forward to it. They are great. They are winners. They are great. And I'm looking forward to being there and witnessing that. And I hope I see all of you there in that category. And we have the greatest book right here to learn about these things. Father, we thank you, sir, for your amazing grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.